Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. We pray that above all, we would see your faithfulness in Jesus. Amen. Well, a little while ago, when Brian asked me to preach, he said to me, you can choose your own passage. Now, when he said this, you might think, oh, great, you know, that's really good. But my heart sank when he said that. Because, as a preacher, I mean, choose your own passage. It's like going to the breakfast aisle at Coles. You walk down, how do you choose? I mean, there's so much to do. There's a million different types of Weet-Bix now. When you're preaching through the Bible, when you're preaching through a particular book, you split it into sections, and as a preacher, you come to a section and you go, right, that's what I'm preaching on this week. What does it say? Choose your own passage is a bit more difficult. So what I ended up doing, and the reason why I chose this passage to preach on, is because it's a passage that's changed me. It's a passage that's changed me. It's transformed my thinking on what it means to have faith and how you have faith. And it's freed me from the guilt of trying and often failing to just kind of believe. And it's allowed me to see once again how faithful and how good Jesus is. See, this passage, when I used to read Hebrews chapter 11, it actually used to make me feel guilty. I used to look at this passage and I'd see all of these heroes of the Old Testament, Abel and Noah and Abraham, Moses, David, so many others. And I'd read the passage and what I'd hear is they had faith and so God was pleased with them. So you should have faith like them. If you want God to be pleased with you, then you should have faith. And so I'd try. I'd try as hard as I could to just believe, to just have faith. After all, this is what being a Christian is about, right? Having faith. You hear time and time again, if you have faith in Jesus, you'll be saved. And so you try. And sometimes I did well. And I felt like, yeah, I really do believe. Other times I'd struggle. I'd struggle to believe. I'd struggle to have faith. Often I'd feel like I wasn't doing a very good job of this whole being a Christian thing. And it almost makes it worse near the end when you read in chapter 12, when you read, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. For me, it was almost as if there was this great cloud of people and they were watching me fail. And it wasn't until I actually preached on this at Cherrybrook last year that I truly understood what this passage was saying, and it transformed me. And I hope it'll do that for you this morning. So let's have a look. Verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of something that's coming, being certain of something you can't see. So when you go to the station in the morning, when you wait at the station for the train, you have faith. You have faith that the train will come. You can't see it, but you believe that it'll come. Now maybe that faith is a little misplaced, but you get the point, right? When you drive through a green light when you're going this way, you have faith that the people coming this way are going to stop at the red light. You have faith. When you look at the weather forecast and it says it's going to be sunny, and so you hang out the washing, you have faith. You have faith in the weather forecast. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the ancients were commended for it. All these people in the Old Testament, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, on and on he goes. All these heroes of the Old Testament. Why are they heroes? Well, why do we know these names? Why do we approve of these? When we hear the name Abel, when we hear the name Abraham, when we hear Noah, why do we automatically put them in the good category? Why do we know their names and go, these are good people? Why do we approve of them? Why does God approve of them? Because they had faith. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham left his country, his people, his father's household. They did all these things by faith. But what does that mean? What does it mean that Noah built the ark by faith? What does it mean that Abraham left everything by faith? Well, think about what Noah did when he built the ark. God told him he's going to send the flood and he's going to destroy the world. And he said to Noah, you'll be saved if you build an ark. Make it 135 metres long, 23 metres wide, 14 metres high. This ark was huge. And Noah would have looked ridiculous building the ark. It would have looked really, really silly. And people would have mocked him. It would have taken a long time to build. And people would have mocked him. There would have been jokes about Noah for years. There's only one reason why Noah would have built that ark. The only reason he would have built it is if he was sure that a flood was coming. He was sure of what was coming. And so he built the ark. Despite what it would have looked like to everyone around him. Think about what Abraham did. Abraham left everything. God told him he's going to give him a land. He's going to make him into a great nation. He's going to bless the whole world through him. There's no way Abraham would have left everything he knew to go to this land that God told him he was going to give him. There's no way he would have done that unless he was sure of what was coming. Unless he was sure that God would do what he'd promised. Faith enabled them to act. To build the ark, to leave their families. And so here we often go, okay, you need to have faith. They did that by faith. You need to have faith too. And it's here that we make our key mistake with this passage. And it's here that I made my key mistake with this passage. See, what I did was I looked inward. And I tried to muster up the faith in myself. And I failed. I tried to just believe. I did well sometimes, but other times I was really bad at it. And so what I'd find is my faith was going up and down all the time. Sometimes I felt like I did have faith and it was good. Sometimes I was struggling. When it comes to faith, we cannot look inward. We cannot look to ourselves. So what's the solution? If we can't look inward, if we can't look to ourselves, where do we look? And the key to this chapter is in verse 11. Have a look. Chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. That's the key. See, faith is never about us. Faith is never about us. It's always about the other person. Let me give you an example. When you go out for coffee with someone, you go out to a cafe, if they're a reliable person, if they're a faithful person, you can turn up at that cafe knowing they'll be there at the time they said they'll be there. You have faith in them because they're a faithful person. If they're unfaithful, if they're an unreliable person, what do? You message them in the morning, just checking if we're still okay to meet today at 10. So next time you go out for coffee with someone, if you get a text in the morning, you know they don't think you're faithful. You don't muster up the faith within yourself. If the person's unfaithful, there's no point having faith in them. If someone is faithful, then you get to know them, you will have faith in them because they're faithful. It's exactly the same with us and God. If we think God is faithful, then we'll have faith. We'll believe in him. If we don't think God's faithful, if we don't think he'll fulfill his promises, we won't have faith. No matter how much we try, no matter how hard we try within ourselves to have faith, if we don't think God is faithful, we won't have faith. Faith is entirely dependent on the other person. Are they faithful? All these heroes of the Old Testament, they considered God faithful. That's what enabled them to have faith. And so the question for us then isn't, do we have faith? The question is God faithful? Is God faithful? And that's the point of this passage, to show us that God's faithful. It's not to hit us over the head and say, you need to have faith. It's to say, God is faithful. The book of Hebrews was written to a church who were in danger of giving up. A few years earlier, they'd heard the good news of Jesus. They'd heard that they were God's enemies because they'd rebelled against him. Despite having the Old Testament law with all its ceremonies, all its regulations, despite all of this, they couldn't possibly meet God's standards. Those sacrifices couldn't possibly pay for their sin. But the good news is that Jesus had died and risen to life so that they could be forgiven. He was that ultimate sacrifice that paid for their sin. And so they now have a new relationship with God. And so they'd repented. They'd turned to Christ. They were saved. And then they went through a period of severe persecution. They were persecuted. They were put in prison. They had their possessions taken away. But they made it through. They made it through this persecution, but they had grown weary. They were tired. They were struggling. And the writer says to them, keep going. Keep going. There is a final rest coming. Keep going. God is faithful. He will fulfill his promises. And here in chapter 11, he says, look at all these people from the Old Testament who had faith. Look at what they were able to do. Look at what they were able to endure. They were tortured. They were put to death. And yet they still had faith. Why? What enabled them to make it through such persecution? They considered God faithful. They were sure, they were certain that God would keep his promises. We will have faith if we consider God faithful. If we believe that he will fulfill his promises. So is God faithful? Has he been faithful to you? And it's here that I made my second mistake with this passage. And it's actually very similar to the first. See, I looked inward again. I looked at my own life. And sometimes I found that, yes, God has been good to me. He has been faithful to me. And when I reflect on what this church has done for me, when I reflect on what you've done for me, I'm incredibly grateful. God has been faithful to me through you. I probably wouldn't be a Christian if it wasn't for youth group here at this church. I met my wife here. You trained me for ministry. You shaped my thinking, my knowledge, the way I do ministry. You shaped me as a person. So thank you. Thank you. God has been faithful to me through you. But there were times when I'd look at my life and I'd go, I'm not sure. Has God really been faithful to me? I don't feel close to him. Ministry isn't going that well. Life is hard. I'm suffering. Is God really faithful? And in these moments when I looked at my own life, I didn't consider God very faithful at all. And see, that's the problem, again, with looking at our own lives as a measure of God's faithfulness. That's the problem with looking at our own experience as the measure of God's faithfulness. What happens when we fail? What happens when we suffer? What happens when we lose that job? What happens when someone close to us dies? What happens when we get diagnosed with cancer? What happens when we suffer? What about those we read about in chapter 11, verse 36? They faced jeers and flogging. They were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. If we let our faith be based on our circumstances, then we'll only trust God when life is good. So where should we look? If we can't look at our own lives, at our own experience, where should we look? We look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It says he is the author and perfecter of our faith. What does that mean? It means he's everything. Our faith starts with him and is completed in him. This is what all those heroes of the Old Testament were looking forward to. This is what they hoped for. This is what they were certain of, but they couldn't see. This is why Abraham lived in tents his whole life, even though he lived in the land that God had promised to him. He lived like a stranger in a foreign country because he was looking forward to what Jesus would bring. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes this. He says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Every single promise of God finds its fulfillment in Christ. If you want to see God's faithfulness, if you want to be convinced of God's faithfulness, that he will do what he's promised, then look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. God even held back his promises from the Old Testament so they could be fulfilled in Jesus. Look at chapter 11, verse 39. It's talking about all these Old Testament heroes, and it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. What's he saying here? He's saying Noah didn't receive what was promised. Abraham didn't receive what was promised. Moses didn't receive what was promised. David didn't receive what was promised. These promises were only fulfilled when Jesus came. When he lived, when he died, when he rose again to pay the penalty for our sins, to bring us back to God, to give us peace with him. God is faithful. He is faithful. He will fulfill his promises. And Jesus is the proof. Jesus is the proof. And so when we hear of this great cloud of witnesses in chapter 12, verse 1, we no longer have this great cloud of people watching us fail. We have a great cloud of people who are witnesses of the fact that God will not fail, that he is faithful. Every single one of them testifies to the fact that God is faithful in Jesus. That's what they're witnesses of. And so fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what the writer calls us to do in chapter 12, verse 2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So where are your eyes fixed? What are you looking for? What are you looking forward to? What keeps you going? Is it the promise of a career? Is it commitment to your family? Is it the hope of a better life at some point in the future? Is it the thought of retirement? Is it children or grandchildren? What keeps you going? Is it ministry here at St. John's? What keeps you going? Where are your eyes fixed? And God might bless you in these things. He might give you a great career. He might give you a fantastic family. He may bless ministry here at St. John's. And from what I hear, it has been blessed. But it might not. And what will you do then? See, when your faith is based on Jesus, it'll keep you from either extreme. It keeps you from this seesaw of your faith going up and down all the time. When times are good, when life is going well, when work and ministry is going well, if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, what ends up happening is we make these things into idols. They become the most important things to us. And our focus changes from the giver to the gift. Fixing our eyes on Jesus keeps these things from becoming idols. It keeps them from becoming the most important things to us. We keep our focus on the giver, not the gift. Some of you, I think, know our story of what's happened in the last few years as my wife Kat and I have been trying to have a baby. We always wanted kids right from the start. And so a little while after we got married, we started trying. And you probably know, particularly if you have kids, that it doesn't always happen straight away. And so we were prepared for it to take a little while. But as the months went by and nothing happened, we started to get not particularly worried, but just a little. We weren't panicking, but we did think at various points, this may never happen. Well, the months turned into years, and still nothing. But we kept going, we kept trying. We couldn't really afford to do fertility treatment, and so it's all we could do, just keep trying. Well, 4 years later, we finally got pregnant. And we were ecstatic, as you can imagine. We were overjoyed. But a week later, they did a scan and they found out that it was ectopic. Essentially, if it keeps growing, it's fatal for both the baby and the mother. And so we lost it. We were devastated. 4 years. We've been trying for 4 years. And it took a while to recover, as you can imagine. But one encouraging thing did come out of it. We could do it. We could get pregnant. And so we kept trying. We tried again. 6 months later, we got pregnant again. And this time, it was in the right place. It could grow. But it didn't. And we had another miscarriage. And this one was harder. The first one, we kind of thought, well, at least we can do this. The second one was hard. Well, as you heard earlier, 2 years later now, and we have a two-month-old baby. So praise God for that. Praise God. But what happened to my faith during that time? And I'd love to stand up here and tell you that it never wavered because I fixed my eyes on Jesus. But I can't tell you that because I didn't always fix my eyes on Jesus. I questioned, I wondered, is God faithful? Why is he doing this? Will he ever give us a child? I didn't always fix my eyes on Jesus, but I did learn. I grew. It was a process. And God, in his grace, brought me back to Jesus every time. He showed me his faithfulness in Jesus. And I learned to trust that Jesus is enough. God isn't faithful because he eventually gave us a child. God isn't faithful because we now have a two-month-old baby boy. He's faithful because he gave us his only child. He's faithful because he gave us Jesus, and Jesus is enough. And that's what I've learned through this. Jesus is enough. God is faithful to us in Jesus. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us in Jesus. We thank you for his life, for his death, for his resurrection. We thank you that he is enough. And Father, we pray that as we go through life, as we go through the good times and the bad, you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us to believe. Show us your faithfulness in him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Despite our circumstances, God is faithful. He gave us his only son. So let's stand and thank him for that as we sing, Jesus, Thank You.
The agonies of